Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One of the great things about winter is the parade of national and international film festivals. And first out of the traps is the sunniest and some say tastiest, the Italian film festival, Cinema Italiano. It's distinctive in other ways too, unlike most festivals which open all over the country on roughly the same dates. Cinema Italiano is a road trip travelling the country and personally hosted by the festival co-founder Paolo Rotondo, or as we must call him now, Cavaliere Rotondo. Paolo was recently knighted for his services to the arts, and the Cavaliere joins us on the line from Hawke's Bay. Benvenuto, Paolo, and congratulations.
Grazie, Simon. Buongiorno a te, a tutti.
This is clearly a big deal. I mean, how much warning did you get about your new title?
I think they had to vet me first, so they asked a few questions in case I was dodgy. but luckily, I came through.
The festival is unusual, as I hinted in the introduction. I mean, travelling around the country throughout the year rather than opening all over the country in July or August or something, which most of the other festivals tend to do. But you do it one city at a time, don't you?
Yeah, I have to credit my partner and, you know, co-founder Renee Mark, because she had this idea. She said that, you know, festivals are an event. Cinema is an event when you go there. And if you can turn up and be at the openings and actually be involved with the community and meet the audience, it creates that atmosphere. And it has proved to be really, really nice. And I've learned so much about the Italian community around New Zealand. But also, I get to travel all around Aotearoa and go to these provinces that are hungry for culture. And so they're very, very welcoming. You know, and that's why our opening nights always have vino and some prosecco. And, you know, we have celebrity chefs like Sergio Maglione from Auckland or Alessandro's in Hawke's Bay. And then, of course, the film starts and they've got a Campari in their hand or a Peroni. They just feel like they've had a little escape from the middle of winter.
Tell us about this year's selection, because it looks a very strong one.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing that we tried to do, Simon, is that I feel the responsibility as an Italian Kiwi to represent Italy well and fully. And so I really strive to get the best quality films. So we've introduced classics and documentaries. You know, they've got this beautiful film about Giotto dreaming the Renaissance.
Now, Giotto is interesting. He's the one guy that people don't know so much about as far as the Renaissance is concerned. But according to this film, he's the guy who basically kicked it off.
Yeah, well, when I was at school in Italy, they give you the myth about Giotto and, you know, he was a shepherd and the Pope is going past in his carriage and he stops to observe these little charcoal drawings that this shepherd is doing and he could draw a perfect circle freehand.
That's a famous story, isn't it?
It might not actually be historically correct, Simon. Right. I don't think it is.
It's a brilliant great story. Myth.
The thing with Giotto is that he started to do all the things in art and design and in frescoes that then became emblematic of the Renaissance. And so you see for the first time in history the use of perspective. And if you think about it, that's such an amazing revolutionary moment when somebody in 2D, just with painting, can create something accurately in 3D. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
The fact is that Italy and the arts are absolutely entwined, and you've got some brilliant arts films here, some dramatised, some documentary. The one I'm most interested in is Caravaggio's Shadow, the famously scandalous Caravaggio, who turns up quite a bit in the latest Ripley TV series. He's this dark painter who's famously a murderer as well.
He's the rock star, sort of bad boy artist of the Renaissance. And he's my favourite because, you know, I'm a filmmaker, Simon, so when I look at his paintings, I see the beginning of lighting. He's very cinematic in a sense. But this film is a dramatization and you see all the artworks, but they were actually allowed to film and use some of the real artworks of Caravaggio in the making of this film. And the director of this film is also playing the Pope. You know, he used prostitutes to depict characters from the Bible and street people, homeless people to depict famous saints. And you can imagine what the Vatican was feeling when that was happening.
Absolutely.
And so for me, that bad boy attitude makes him even cooler. I guess he's like a famous filmmaker like Tarantino or, you know, or Nolan or Scorsese. And
right.
The studio is the Vatican. And they're like Harvey Weinstein, you know, like they're bad boys. And Caravaggio is the cool artist.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, no, looking forward to that one. In addition to that, there's a documentary about Versace, which I can tell you has more celebrities per square foot than any other film, I imagine.
Well, he's a perfect example about how Italy's, you know, historical patrimony is kind of active in the present. I mean, if you think about Gianni Versace, he draws on Greco-Roman style, Byzantine art, Renaissance, and yet he's at the cutting edge of modern fashion. That's really important in terms of our cultural history is part of our innovation as Italians. You know, so when you see the design of a Lamborghini car, it's because of that cultural history. It's that dates back 2,000 years. It's not separate from it. It's not an innovation breaking away. It's
right.
actually part of that long history.
I think that you're right. I mean, I think that when we think of artists, we tend to think in terms of a genius doing it quietly to one side, but they're all very much part of the Italian tradition that goes through their films as well, including Fellini. I see you have Fellini's first film in this collection.
Oh, my gosh, it's so charming. I didn't know this film very well until last year. I'm a big fan of Eight and a Half, and this film, Eight and a Half, is very intellectual and very sophisticated and brilliant. But this is kind of Fellini having a laugh and being a crack up. And he was a cartoonist before this. And it's a really wonderful comedy. But the thing I like about it, it's a film from the 60s, but it talks about celebrity culture in a way that's completely relevant to today.
This film is called The White Sheik, isn't it? And it's about filmmaking as well as the story itself, isn't it?
It is indeed. And so it's kind of about falling in love with filmmaking as an art form from Fellini's perspective, but it's also about the artifice of filmmaking and about the artifice of celebrity. It's a woman who idolizes this great actor. And of course, he can never live up to it. Like the modern, like the Kardashians or the royal family or any pop star of nowadays, we sort of imbue them with qualities that they cannot ever possibly live up to. It's really interesting to see. Imagine if Fellini had Instagram nowadays, he would go crazy.
Yeah. Looking at other film greats in here, you've got a film called Order of Time, which is made by Liliana Cavani. And the most distinctive thing about her, frankly, is the fact that she's 91 years old and still doing brilliant work.
Yes, I'm really proud of Italy for it not being so ageist. I mean, they're always looking for the young up and coming, but they also honour their masters. And so, you know, not only Liliana Cavani with The Order of Time, but also Marco Bellocchio in Kidnapped. He's 83 years old. We have this range of filmmakers from their 20s right up until 90. Yeah, Italy lives really well with its older generation. You know, we're into the experience of wisdom and the masters.
Kidnapped is an interesting movie anyway. I mean, tell us about the story of that.
Oh, my God. It's a true story about a little boy growing up in a Jewish family, in a really well-to-do Jewish family in Bologna. And he's sick, and his housemaid or the nursemaid secretly baptizes him into the Christian faith. And there is a law in the Vatican that says that a Christian child, a baptized child, must grow up in a Catholic context. And so the Pope comes after this child and kidnaps him. And it is unbelievably nail-biting and gripping as a film. The performances are out of this world. You know, we were just talking about a man who's 83 directing a film. I don't think a younger director could have made a film of the grandeur, the sort of epic costume drama with these gigantic themes of Christianity and Judaism and religion. You know, it takes the wisdom and maturity of age to tell a story like that. I can't recommend that film enough.
I can't imagine a film more Italian than that. That seems a very Italian thing. As does a film called There's Still Tomorrow, which is famous for being the most popular film in Italy last year, beating Barbie and Oppenheimer.
This is my pick of the festival because, not only because it was popular, but I just love her style. Paola Cortellesi is kind of known as an actress and quite a comic actress in Italy. And she wrote, directed, and starred in this film. And she harks back to the neorealist filmmakers like Rossellini and De Sica. But she's also really anachronistic with, you know, modern music. But it's a film about female emancipation in Italy and sort of the breakdown of the patriarchy. It's got themes like domestic violence in it, and yet it is done with such a beautiful touch, a light touch, that it became a cultural phenomenon in Italy. It sort of did what maybe Once Were Warriors or Boy did in New Zealand. You know, they're sort of films that the entire nation talks about and everyone has to see these films.
In a way, one of the most fascinating things about the Italian Film Festival is that it reflects what is really going on in Italy as far as the audience is concerned. These are big hits over there, aren't they?
Absolutely. It kind of celebrates what makes us perfect and imperfect. Italians are wonderful at criticising themselves as much as celebrating, and cinema's brilliant at that, you know.
One of the exciting things about this festival, of course, is that finally your film comes out. This is the only film, we think, that was filmed in both Italian and Tereo. It's all subtitles, but it's Italian and Maori language.
Yes, it's a short film I made with the support of the New Zealand Film Commission about the Māori Battalion in Italy and the Italians meeting Māori for the first time. And it was set around Monte Cassino, which is the 80th anniversary of that tragic event, which New Zealand was right in the middle of. And so we made this little black and white film that also harks back to the neorealist filmmakers. And the pleasure of it is that it's entirely in Italian and Te Reo Māori because the two characters don't share a common language. It's very much in the style of Italian films that it's both comic but also tragic at the same time and often in the very same moment. And so we've taken it around the world to festivals and it's and now I get to share it with New Zealanders in my own festival, which is a complete privilege. Yeah, we've put that before the film There's Still Tomorrow. They link up really beautifully.
What a great double feature. And the film is called Monga Casino and I urge people to check that one out. Another filmmaker who gets featured in the festival is a guy called Nanni Moretti, who I don't know, but he's clearly a big deal in Italy. You've got three of his films up, haven't you?
Simon, you're in for a treat. Nanni Moretti is a legend in Italy. Americans refer to him as the Italian Woody Allen. I think he's a little bit more intellectual and a little bit more silly at the same time. He's been the president of the jury at Cannes. He's won the Palme d'Or. He's won the jury prize. He is a genuine auteur. And so I really wanted to celebrate Moretti because he's come out with a brand new film called A Brighter Tomorrow, but it harks back to these two other films from where he started 30 years ago in the 90s. Mm. And his first film that really put him on the world map was Caro Diario. So we've got this restored copy and it is a film like no other film. It is so funny and charming, but also deeply philosophical and intellectual. You don't get that kind of filmmaking outside of Europe that much. He sort of plays a comic version of himself. Film director who's very self-obsessed, who's very self-deprecating, and we end up loving him as a character. But I really wanted to do a little retrospective on him.
I think the Italian Woody Allen seems a very good shorthand for what he's doing. I was fascinated by the fact that one of them starred a woman called Margherita Boy, who I only knew because she turns up in the Ripley series that we talked about a little before.
Yeah, Margherita Bui is huge in Italy. And she's one of those actresses with an incredible amount of elegance and intelligence. I think Moretti uses her a lot in his films because of her intelligence, a sort of straight person who can, with one look, make him seem ridiculous.
Maybe the Italian Diane Keaton, perhaps, in this one. There are over 20 titles, aren't there? 24
this year.
And of the titles that we haven't really touched on, would you like to pick one that you think might be otherwise overlooked?
I would say the other art film, which New Zealanders might be really interested in, is Grand Tour. It's a sort of an art film, but it's about the beginning of tourism. It's about when Northern European aristocrats had to travel to Italy to learn aesthetics so they could go back to their own country with a sense of refinement.
That's right. That was the big aristocratic English OE, wasn't it? It was the thing that you would all go to Italy to gain culture.
That's right. And you see the seeds of that culture still present today. I mean, it's kind of invented tourism. And Grand Tour uses first-person experiences of those people experiencing Italy. And I think New Zealanders will relate to that because you end up feeling like nothing's really changed in that respect.
Well, so when does it start? It's just about to launch in Auckland, isn't it, Paolo?
Yeah, we have 7 cinemas in Auckland. We're starting on the 29th of April at the Silky Otter Cinemas in Ponsonby. And then we have a big gala opening night at the Bridgeway Cinema. And this year we've brought in a new cinema, the Lido in Epsom. We flood Auckland with Italianness. You know, the next after that, it goes to the Govett Brewster in New Plymouth, Napier and Havelock North in July, Palmerston North, Blenheim, Hamilton, Tauranga, Matakana. And then at the end of the year, in November, it sort of starts to come to its peak fruition at the Roxy and the Embassy in Wellington.
Oh, fantastic.
And then Dunedin. So it's a huge year of tiki touring around. It's a real community event, but it's like Italians presenting it to New Zealanders. So it's not really only geared for Italian community. It's very much to an international New Zealand audience.
There was one film tucked away in there that I was kind of intrigued by, largely because I'd just been to see Challengers. It's got a guy called Josh O'Connor in it, but I see he's in another Italian film as part of your festival.
He's in La Chimera by Alice Rocquagher. If you are an art house film lover, La Chimera is the best one in our festival. Alice Rocquagher is like an Italian art house director who's like a favourite at Cannes Film Festival. Josh O'Connor, who played Prince Charles in The Crown, is super charming. He's essentially an archaeologist who ends up becoming a grave robber to steal artifacts. But it's a much more existential journey, and it's really funny and charming and stylish in a very bohemian, arty way. It was actually in the New Zealand International Film Festival last year, and I had so many people ask me to bring it back that we've programmed it. It was nominated for the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Paolo Rotondo, director of the Italian Film Festival, which opens this week in Auckland before travelling all over the country. Google it, as they say, for details of when it comes to your town.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.